I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus went on with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered Him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered Him, "You are the Messiah." And He sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about Him. Then He began to teach them the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. But turning and looking at His disciples, He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with His disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. May God add His blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate the reading. This scripture oftentimes finds people dwelling on the part where Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And that's pretty important, but there's so much more as there is in all of the Gospels and all of the Scripture. I do want to say this, though, and I think it's important that we understand this. When Jesus gets on to Peter, and Peter gets on to Jesus, the literal translation of the Greek is, Peter said to Him, "Shut up." Picture that, saying that to Jesus. And Jesus wasn't going to have it. And He said, "You shut up." That's the literal translation in Greek. But nevertheless, I don't even want us to worry about that right now. What I would like for us to do is to think about the verses 34 through 37, because in comparison to the argument between Jesus and Peter, this is so much more important. You might notice that Jesus calls the crowd around to say this, and He wants to ensure that Peter and the other disciples hear what He has to say. Jesus is telling us the cost of discipleship. That is the message in this. And we're going to break it down and go a little further. He called the crowd with His disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." What does that mean? That's been debated for years for some. For others, they think it's just literal. You know what it means. But I got to say, for the ones who take it literally and say they know what it means, they don't do it 99% of the time. Do you have a cross in your home that you pick up and carry around? Do you keep crosses around and tell your family, "And hey, here's a cross over here, I want you to carry that, it's your day"? Of course you don't. We don't do that. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross, carry your cross, what is He actually saying to us? Because He doesn't want us to literally pick up a cross. So what does that mean? And don't count your spouse and your kids as crosses. That's not nice. We must also keep in mind some crosses we gladly bear, other crosses we don't want anything to do with. That's true, if you understand what a cross is. As a therapist, I've heard what seems like every kind of cross a person could possibly bear. I've been with people who have personality disorders, depression, anxiety, Alzheimer's, dementia, loneliness, sadness, grief, or whatever. Those are crosses. Something you live with every day and wrestle with every day, including unhealthy family interactions, alcoholism, drug addiction, mental abuse, emotional abuse, and physical abuse. If you're the one being abused, I've walked away from sessions thinking to myself, how do these people make it from day to day? Because they have crosses to bear that most of us couldn't even imagine. Some of us can. Other crosses many of us bear, and remember, there are different kinds of crosses, good and bad. What about family responsibilities? Work responsibilities? Then there are those responsibilities we would simply love to avoid, but we can't. Bernard L. Brown, he's a former president of the Kenistone Regional Healthcare System in the state of Georgia. And I've actually seen this in action when I was working in nursing homes counseling people. But this is what he says. I once worked in a hospital where a patient knocked over a cup of water, which spilled on the floor beside the patient's bed. The patient was afraid he might slip on the water if he got out of bed, so he asked the nurse to mop it up. Can you relate, Bob? So, the patient didn't know it, but the hospital policy said small spills were the responsibility of the nurse's aides, while large spills were to be mopped up by the hospital's housekeeping group. The nurse's aide decided the spill was a large one, and she called the housekeeping department. A housekeeper arrived and declared the spill was a small one, and an argument ensued. I've actually seen this happen. It is not my responsibility, said the nurse's aide, because it's a large puddle. The housekeeper did not agree. Well, it's not mine, she said. The puddle is too small. The exasperated patient listened for a time, then took a pitcher of water from his night table and poured the whole thing on the floor. Is that a big enough puddle now for the two of you to decide? It was, and the argument ended. Notice Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't give us such an out. Jesus doesn't say, well, if there's a small problem someone's having, you don't have to do it. If it's a small responsibility for your family, just blow it off. Or, you know, if it's a big one, then get someone else to handle it. No, that doesn't exist in Jesus' world. Jesus says no matter how small, how big, or anywhere in between, it's your responsibility. That's a cross. That's the cross that we bear. How many of us sitting here have raised a family and been with our grandchildren, and in some cases, our great-grandchildren? That's one of those crosses we gladly bear. When your kids grow up, move away, and they call and they say, hey, just lost my job, could you help out? Hey, come on home. Or how much do you need? We take care, but it's still a responsibility. And not all people take that responsibility, but it is. So, what matters to Jesus is taking responsibility. What matters is taking up our cross and meeting that responsibility, showing compassion, forgiving others, loving your neighbor, visiting, healing, whatever the need, we are to meet it, not avoid it. And you know, and I know that in churches there are people who will argue about whose responsibility it is. But if we are true to following our Lord and Savior, we all have responsibility. Now, many of us may say, but I'm not sure of myself in those situations. I don't know what to do. which is a feeling of inadequacy. And although I understand the feeling of not knowing what to do, I also understand the feeling of needing someone to show me compassion or heal me or even visit me, and no one offering to do so. They didn't think it was their responsibility. When it comes to the fear of responsibility, whatever that responsibility may be, I think about it this way. And I was thinking about this past week. I was in Waco at the house. And I love our new house because it's one level. And the one that we left back when we lived in McGregor was two-story, built in 1892, way up there. Boy, you talk about a second level. But think about this. I used to get a 36-foot extension ladder and put it up next to that house in McGregor and go up that ladder and paint. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but when you start going up a ladder and it starts shaking, you start shaking. And you're holding a bucket of paint and you have a brush and you're trying to get up this ladder and you begin to get a little scared, especially when you're 36 feet up in the air and your leg, I don't know what it is, I've never figured this out, but one of your legs almost invariably will start and you're thinking, oh my gosh, and you start hugging the ladder. So I get to the top of the ladder and I'm holding that ladder and I'm not letting go. A brush and a paint can. And I think, okay, I'm supposed to paint. But I'm not letting go of this ladder because I might fall. And then finally, after a while, I convince myself, okay, my leg has stopped shaking, I'm feeling a little better, and I hook the paint can on, and I'm still have an arm around the ladder, and I dip, and I start to paint. And as I paint, and I see that paint being absorbed into that wood, and it's a beautiful sunshiny day, not 100 and something, it was about 75, I start relaxing. And before I know it, I'm just up there, not even thinking about it. I'm getting it done. Now, I want you to think about this because, see, that is a really important lesson that I learned and I hope that you've learned. But it teaches us that if you just do it, and Jesus was the original on this Nike thing, just do it. You do it. You get comfortable with it. Oh, well, I've never visited people in a hospital before. I don't know what to do. Just go. Just go. The fact that you're there sends a message. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't really help out in the kitchen when we do dinners and stuff because I'm afraid I'll get in the way. Just go. Just do it. Trust me. I've been in this congregation long enough. If you go into that kitchen, someone's going to tell you what to do. They're going to guide you. They're going to show you. But the point is, we got to put ourselves out there. That is yet another cross. Jesus tells his disciples, just do it. Just follow me, watch what happens, and then spread the gospel. That's an important lesson. And with God's support and guidance, it will become a part of you and who you are. And once you do it and you keep doing it, it just becomes a natural part of who you are. And here is the why of Jesus' teaching to the crowd. And I pray you hear this story well because it is central to his teaching. And I'll wrap it up for you at the end, but this is really important. A pastor once made an investment in a large piece of ranch real estate, which he hoped to enjoy during his years of retirement. While he was still an active pastor, he would take one day off each week to go out to his land and work. But what a job. What he had bought, he soon realized, was several acres of weeds, gopher holes, and run-down buildings. It was anything but attractive, but the pastor knew it had potential, and he stuck with it. Every week, he'd go to the ranch, crank up his small tractor, and plow through the weeds with a vengeance. Then he'd spend time doing repairs on the buildings. He'd mix cement, cut lumber. He would do windows, get them replaced, and work on the plumbing. It was hard work, but after several months, they began to take shape. And many of you, I'm sure, have had projects and you thought, oh, it's hopeless. And then you get down the road and you say, yeah, it's not so bad. And every time the pastor put his hand to some task, he would swell with pride. He knew his labor was finally paying off. When the project was completed, the pastor received a neighborly visit from a farmer who lived a few miles down the road. Farmer Clay took a look at the preacher and cast a longer eye over the revitalized property and looked all over what he had been doing. Then he nodded his approval and said, well, preacher, it looks like you and God really did some good work here. The pastor, wiping the sweat from his face, answered, it's interesting you should say that, Mr. Clay. But I've got to tell you, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself. We've been given a ministry. Jesus has called us to do a lot of things. Think about it. Think about the teachings of Jesus. What you and I are called to do. You don't have to be a preacher. I don't have to be in the congregation. We're all called to do the work of Jesus Christ. But oftentimes, as I said, we don't want to. It just seems too complicated, or we don't have enough time. That's one of my favorites. I don't have time. You don't have time? What are you doing? I'm going to go home and watch a football game. Wow. Okay. No time. But as I said, so often we think of the responsibilities we have as several acres of weeds, gopher holes, and rundown buildings. It's the way we look at the ministry. That's the way we look at the calling that Jesus has given us. We feel that it'll wear us down, and at times it will be just too much. And it is those times we should feel we must bear our cross or crosses. That's what Jesus is talking about. You remember the disciples? Well, Lord, we don't want to go into Jerusalem. You'll die. Bear your cross. I've called you. Do what you've been called to do. Do what you've been called to do. It's hard work, but after a while, it will take shape. And we will swell with pride that we've done the work that we've been set out to do. We will see our work paying off. And we know that God will be proud. Bottom line, what Jesus conveys to the people is this: God has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. We are to do the work of God on earth. To accomplish God's work, we must bear our crosses, take responsibility for the ministry of Jesus Christ, and serve those around us daily. That's the price. People say, well, at what price should I follow Jesus? That's it. Just do it. Do what Jesus has called you to do. Listen, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? If you're thankful that you were born, if you're thankful that you were able to serve on this earth, regardless of age, what would you trade for that life? I wake up every morning saying thank you. I woke up this morning. Not everybody does. The question is this: is your priority the ministry of Jesus or the ministry of self? It's a big question. If it is self, at what price are you willing to not serve God? There's so much to do. You hear it every day. You hear it every time you come in here on Sundays. This church is active. We get things done. And we call on all the members to partake, to help. You heard John up here when he was talking about stewardship. stewardship, giving, not just your money, but yourself. Deny yourself and take up your cross. Your time, your talent, all of that is part of taking up your cross and fulfilling the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you, we know all too often we would avoid the things that you would have us do. We know that all too often we might even be asking for attention and for people to notice us and to glorify us for what we do. And we know that it is you that should be glorified. Without the life that you have given us, how could we possibly? Everything we do knowing that you gave us the life to do it. Be with us, guide us, and fill us with your Spirit, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.